Welcome back to the Book of Psalms, everyone. The 10th Psalm is a lament and a hard question. Why, Lord? Right from the start in verse 1, why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Have you ever asked that? Really, have you asked God why he's hiding? I need you now, God, so where are you? If you haven't asked, I hope the Psalms give you that freedom. Bring your hard questions to God. It's how strong faith gets that way. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Now, that's a valid question if it's genuine. David genuinely wants a response because he does believe in God. Why are you hiding when we need you most? Before we dig in, what does this psalm sound like? For me, it reminds me of a great scene from the movie Last Holiday, Why Me, Lord? In another genre, the song Farther Along by Josh Garrels captures some of the heart of this one. So what is bothering David so much? He pours it out to the Lord in verse 2. In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. So this is the problem. The wicked man, the whole lot, the whole world full of them, their arrogance, convinced of their own greatness, attacking the weak, scheming against them. That makes me angry. Schemes to take advantage of the elderly, the poor, the migrant, the young. In verse 3, he brags about it and blesses the greedy as if God honors greed. Now read carefully. This man is not an atheist. He doesn't disbelieve God. He reviles God. That means despise, with contempt. He treats God as worthless. Verse 4 captures him well. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Now there's a picture. His thoughts just ran out of space. No room for God. Not a priority. We all know people like this. The practical atheist. They believe there's a God, but for all practical purposes, God doesn't affect their living. In my country, that might even be most people. Verse 5. His ways are always prosperous. Your laws are rejected by him. He sneers at all his enemies. Wait a second. Psalm 1 said prosperity was for the godly person. What happened to not so the wicked? Well, that's exactly what David feels here. Why, Lord? Do you ever struggle when your world doesn't match up with the ideals of the word? I do. David did. And that's what the Psalms are for, to wrestle through it with God. Did you know you can do that? Did you know that you should do that? Verse 6. He says to himself, nothing will ever shake me. He swears, no one will ever do me harm. His mouth is full of lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. Now there's an evil not to be underestimated. Lies and threats are exceedingly destructive. The helpless live in fear as the wicked boast. When a powerful person threatens, there is an awful sense of dread. And when you see a helpless person intimidated, it just makes you angry. Okay, I have to break to tell you a story. I was on a plane last week, studying the Psalms on a long flight. The person next to me had a movie on their phone. I saw Denzel Washington on screen, and from the look of it, I figured it was one of the Equalizer movies. Now, I haven't seen any of them because I'm a baby when it comes to screen violence. It just really affects me. But I recognized it, and I have the hardest time not looking at movies next to me on the plane. The whole setup for the movie was Denzel moving to this idyllic European town. Sweet people, gracious hospitality. But then, thugs show up. Wicked men. They intimidate, threaten, extort, and get away with it. The people are powerless. And I have to tell you, it was so well done, I could feel the righteous anger building up in me. I couldn't even hear the movie. But even just peeking at it makes you angry. Everything in you just cries for justice. Come on, somebody stop them. I looked back at the psalm in front of me, and I realized that's exactly what David feels. Angry, indignant. He wants justice. Why, Lord, don't you do something? And David is not in a movie. Injustice is real life. Look at verse 8. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent. His eyes watch in secret for his victims. Like a lion in cover, he lies in wait. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. Three times David uses the word helpless to describe the poor victims. Why is there no help? Why do the wicked get away with it? Where is the hero? Where is the Lord? Verse 11, he says to himself, God will never notice. He covers his face and never sees. Here again, practical atheism. The wicked man believes God is real. He's just convinced God doesn't care. Now, David is not atheist, nor is he the helpless. He's a warrior. But now he's confused. Where is his warrior God when the helpless need him? There was a scene in the movie next to me. Sorry, still peeking over. Where Denzel is in a little cafe, sitting in a corner. Two thugs walk in and begin intimidating a nice family. I think the dad is local police or something. Also powerless. Their cruelty and arrogance is so bad. And you just see Denzel in the corner booth watching. I'm guessing it's the third movie because he's clearly trying to stay retired and stay out of it. And I kept trying not to peek, but everything in you just wants to shout at the screen to say, get up, do something, stop them. I share that story because David feels exactly that way toward God. Look at verse 12. Arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? David's questions are genuine, but it's not clear whether he's asking God or challenging the wicked man. I kind of think it's both. I think David is in transition here from why, Lord, don't you act to why, wicked man, are you so foolish to believe that God won't act? I think David sees Denzel sitting in the corner and he knows. I think he's shouting at the screen, you guys picked the wrong cafe. Now, I'm not comparing Denzel with God, just my feeling with David's feeling. In verse 14, his feeling becomes confident. You, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. A noble defiance awakens in David's heart. The wicked might be dumb enough to believe that God doesn't see, but I am not that stupid. They are not helpless whose helper is the Lord. The tone shifts. Why, Lord, is over. The final stanza is bold. This part reminds me of the song Strong Enough to Save by 10th Avenue North. Great song. Verse 15, break the arm of the wicked man. Call the evildoer to account for his wickedness that would not otherwise be found out. Get him, Lord. In that cafe scene, one of the thugs passes Denzel. Big mistake. Denzel grabs his arm, twists it, and slams his face to the table. The other thug starts to get up, and Denzel just points at him. Just points. Total control. You messed with the wrong guy. That is the heart of verse 15. You messed with the wrong God. Vengeance is his. He calls the evildoer to account. 16. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry. Defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror. David renews his faith by speaking what he knows to be true. The Lord is just. The Lord hears. Evil perishes. The Lord is king forever. Read Psalm 10. This guide is dedicated to all those who dedicate their lives to defend and protect, and who do it with integrity. you reflect the image of your maker. This is for you. Shout out to Trey Jones, my dear friend's brother and my brother in the faith. Side note, Psalms 9 and 10 are combined in some ancient Bibles and modern Catholic Bibles, which sets a different numbering for all the Psalms from here to 148. And now you know why.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.